Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, and it's always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God. I pray that each and every one of you have had a wonderful week, and God is still in the blessing business. I don't know if you guys, if I'm on the air now and you can hear me. If you can, please press the one button on your phone. Thank you so much. They had two screens open, and I couldn't really tell which ones was working. And I just say again, I thank you for taking time out of your schedule and coming in as we explore the Word of God together on tonight. Well, this is the first Wednesday in a month. And as always, we go to the throne of grace, and we have time with our prayer list. So I'm going to change it up a little bit. I'm going to let the prayer go forth now. And for our prayer list and for everybody, because it just seemed like we need to pray right now. And what I'm going to do is turn it over to Sister Pam, and I'm going to let her bring us to the throne of grace and let us review our prayer list that each and every one of us have been praying for, hopefully. So, Sister Pam, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So we're going to open up with our prayer list today because it just was pressed on my heart to do it this way. And we are living in a time where prayer is needed in season and out of season. There's trouble on every side, and there's never too much prayer. So, Sister Pam, you could take over at this time.
Good evening, everybody. Let me start with the prayer list. Like I said, if anybody have any names that they want to add to the prayer list, please let us know at the end of the program or call Sister Diane and let her know. Esther Lucas, Jim and Kathy Hartman, Danny, Dustin, and Derek McBride, Mary Hodges, Gladys Phillips, Lance Brown, the Martin family, Sister Janice and family, Tammy Ditto, Berlin Garrett, Jacqueline Nichols, Maddie Lala and family, Javonda Caples, Darrett Oliver, Tasha Kane, Brent Little, and special Sharon, and special prayer tonight for all the people in the Bahamas that was affected by Hurricane Dorian. Father, we say thank you tonight for life. Lord, we thank you for another first of the month Wednesday night Bible study. Thanking you, Father, for our minister, our sister in Christ, our teacher, our messenger, Sister Diane Adams. Please, Lord, continue to bless her and crown her head with all the wisdom and all the knowledge that you have for her. Lord Jesus, we come tonight asking for prayer and praying for the people in the Bahamas, praying for the families that lost loved ones, and praying for those that are still missing. And Lord, if it's your will that they be found alive and well. Father, we know that you will allow these kind of tragedies to happen in our lives that we won't understand. But Jesus, we pray. We pray that you give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we thank you for what you're still doing for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. Lord, we thank you for being our Savior most of all. Lord, I just say thank you tonight. I just want to praise your name and just thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, that could have been us. That storm could have came and hit us. But I say thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, for your grace and for your mercy. Yes, in all the prayers that I ask tonight, in your son Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
And we want to thank Sister Pam for keeping up with our prayer list. And she has expressed to me that she labor with the prayer list on a daily basis. And that's what we need. But we also need each and every one of us to pray for those who have asked for prayer, for those who you know are in need of prayer, because prayer really changes things. Thank you so much, Sister Pam. And our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Genesis. We're going to explore Genesis a little bit tonight. And the title of the lesson is, See What Happens When You Take Things in Your Own Hand. At this time, I'm going to play a song that was pressed on my heart to play. The title of the song is God is Sovereign. And we're going to listen to this by Daryl Coley. And we're going to come back and explore the Word of God together. Be prayerful for one another. Be prayerful for our Wednesday night Bible study. And God will continue to bless us through his Word.
Oh,
pray that the record came through clear enough for you to understand what it was saying. It was talking about the sovereignty of God. And I know it was a long time before I really understood what sovereignty meant. And if any of you, you know, have a little problem. But as the record said, the sovereignty of God is the fact that he's in full control. He created all things. He's in all things. He's everywhere at the same time. He knows all things. And he gets to do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, and however he wants to do it, because he's God. And he's God all by himself. And that makes him sovereign, supreme, the greatest, everlasting. So we have to look at God and his attributes, and that's how we could begin to trust him. And since our prayer is already going forth, we're going to explore the word of God together. Remember, the title of the lesson is, see what happens when you take things in your own hands. And I'm sure many of us have had the experience where we you know, sometimes God is speaking to us and we take things in our own hand. Or sometimes we pray and talk about putting it on the altar and go back and get it. You know, they say if you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you pray, don't worry. But you know, we're going to see a good example tonight of what happens when you do things your way, when you take it out of God's hand and decide that you're going to do it your way. Our lesson is coming from the book of Genesis, the 21st chapter, the 9th through the 21st verse. And the lesson background for tonight, of course, is about Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, and Ishmael. You know, I wanted to do a background on Ishmael tonight, but I realized I couldn't leave the other ones out. So I'm going to say it like this. You see, Abraham and Sarah was childless, and now in their old age, thought it would be impossible to have children. But you see, with man, it may be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You see, God had appeared to Abraham and promised that he would have a son, that he would be the father of many nations. You see, but when time went on, Abraham had no children. His wife Sarah had not been able to conceive. Hallelujah. And they began to question just how the promise would be fulfilled. You know how God tell you something and you get weary and you get tired and you wonder if you really heard what you heard? But if God said it, you could trust it. You see, God made the promise to Abraham and Sarah. Y'all have to remember this in this story. God made the promise to Abraham and Sarah. But you see, after time passed and they got discontented with what God had said, Sarah suggested that Abraham would have a child with her slave Hagar, who was an Egyptian. Apparently, this was somewhat a common practice at that time, perhaps an ancient version of surrogacy, you see. Because, you know, back then if a man didn't have a son to inherit his belongings and run everything, then he would have to adopt someone to take over because women didn't have that authority. You see, so you have to know all this about the story to understand kind of why Sarah wanted to do it and Abraham too. You see, while this may have seemed like a workable solution for Abraham and Sarah, but in actuality, it caused more problems than it solved. And we're going to see what happens when you take it in your own hands. You see, Hagar did conceive with Abraham, but when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise Sarah, and Sarah appealed to Abraham for help. Abraham told Sarah, look, do what you want with her. Do what you see fit. So that gave Sarah the reign to treat Hagar any kind of way that she wanted. And the treatment got so bad that Hagar left. And she was out there wandering. And God met her. You see, God sent the angel and found Hagar in the desert and told her to return to Sarah. You see, you know, God has a master plan. And because of his sovereignty, he knows what he want to accomplish, his intended purpose for all of us, for everything in our lives. And he had an intended purpose for this. He sent Hagar back. And he didn't just send her back without giving her some information. He told her about her unborn son. You are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. His name would be Ishmael, for the Lord has heard and seen your misery. And the name Ishmael means God hears. And he told her what kind of man Ishmael would be. He would be a donkey of a man. And his hands will be against everyone, and everyone's hands against him. And he would live in hostility towards all his brothers. Hagar listened to God. She went back, and she bore a son. At this time, Abraham was 86 years old. Now, we have to understand this tonight. They had very strict rules in that culture concerning a firstborn son. You see, Ishmael was Abraham's firstborn son. And, you know, plenty of times people will say, Sister Adams, if he was the firstborn son, why didn't he inherit all that God had for him? And one time I was speaking to a Muslim, and that was the question they were saying, and they were saying that God was unjust by taking away the privileges that was already established in the law and everything, the law of the land for the firstborn. So if that was the case, why didn't God allow Ishmael, being the firstborn, to receive the inheritance? We're going to get to that a little bit later. You see, when Abraham was 99 years old, at that time Ishmael was 13 years old, God appeared to him again and reiterated the promise that he would be the father of many. God told Abraham that Sarah, who was 90 years old, would have a son. You see, Abraham had a hard time believing this and asked that God would fulfill the promise in Ishmael. Here we see Abraham trying to take it out of God's hand and to have it his way. You know, this shows us how much Abraham loved Ishmael. You got to realize, if a man that old have a child and could produce a child, it probably gave him bragging rights, besides the fact he wanted a son. So after it seemed so long, he tried to ask God, well, why not just let the promise come through Ishmael? From this, we see that Abraham loved his boy, but God said that the promise will be fulfilled through a son that Sarah bared. You know, a lot of times God makes something plain as can be. But we sometimes interpret it into what we want it to be or what we think make most sense. You see, God never promised the promise to Abraham and any other woman. He told him plainly it would be between you and Sarah. So when Ishmael was born, really of the flesh, God had a promise that would happen spiritually, and that was with Isaac. That was the spiritual plan. Abraham and Hagar getting together was done in the flesh. Hallelujah. He said, your wife's going to have a son, and y'all going to call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant from his descendants after him. And for Ishmael, look how good God is. Abraham and Sarah concocted this plan, went along with it, had the child. Sarah not mad. They put poor Hagar and the boy out. God told him, because Abraham was concerned, I will surely bless him, talking about Ishmael. I would make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 tribes. Come on, y'all. Israel had 12 tribes, and God gave Ishmael 12 tribes. I will make him into a great nation. The Israelites became a nation, but Ishmael, out of him came a nation. He also had 12 tribes. And God said, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you this time next year. Now, you see, God had told them years ago they was going to have it. Now he's shortening the time. But look all that they did in the meantime. So since I wanted to talk about Ishmael, I want you to know that the Ishmael nation, the people, are called the Ishmaelites. Y'all know when y'all be reading, they got the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Benjaminites. The name of the ites become the name of the founder, of the leader. And Ishmael's family and descendants all came from him, became the Ishmaelites. So, to tell you a few little facts where you can see the name of an Ishmaelite or something that the Ishmaelites did in the Bible. You remember when Joseph was sold into Egypt, and those people were walking around, and the brothers sold them to the Ishmaelites? That was descendant of Ishmael. And the Ishmaelites are mentioned incidentally few more times in the Old Testament than in the New. And Ishmael lived a total of 137 years. You see, you remember Isaac had a brother named Esau, and they battled and still battling today. But Esau married a descendant of Ishmael. And guess why? Because his mother did not want him to marry a Canaanite woman. And it has been said, and it's in the Quran, the Muslim Bible, and an Arab Bible, that Ishmael was the founder and the patriarch of Islam. I'm not saying that all Arabs are descendants of Ishmael, but many of them probably are. So when you see the Arabs and you see the Muslim and you see Islam, it stems from Ishmael. You see, there's still a great deal of strife between the descendants of Isaac and those of Ishmael. And it's happening even today. That's why the wars in Jerusalem are called holy wars. You have to remember when that was, when that happened, and Ishmael thought he was overlooked and he thought he was unfairly treated by not receiving the promise since he was the firstborn. So it always caused strife among them. But I just want you to know, I often wonder how things might have been different had Abraham simply trusted God to bring about his promise without any added help from Abraham and Sarah, and if they wouldn't have taken it in their own hands. I wanted to give you a little background and hopefully cleared up some things that you may have known or wanted to know about Ishmael and the process and everything that happened. So now we're going into the scripture. We are at the chapter 22. Is it 22 or 21? Chapter 21. We're going to start at the 9th verse. And it said, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptians." Now, all that I talked about had happened, and now we at this point. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne to Abraham, mocking. 10. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heirs with my son, even with Isaac." 11. And the thing was very grievous to Abraham's sight because of his son. 12. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto you, hearken to her voice." See, Abraham was having problems. You know, she wanted him to put his son out, you know. But God came to Abraham to settle it. He said, "Listen to what your wife said." He said, "For in Isaac shall thy seed be called." And 13 said, "And also of the son of the bondwoman I will make a nation." He telling Abraham, "Because I love you, I got them. Because he is thy seed." God is letting us know that he don't only take care of us, but he take care of our seeds. He take care of our generations. He take care of us because of his love for us. And Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Bathsheba. Now that's deep. But you see, here we see what happens when you take things in your own hand. Sarah's son Isaac is born. And once again, problems arise. Sarah sees Ishmael mocking the young Isaac. And she demands action for Abraham. She no longer wants Ishmael around. But you got to look at this. Remember, she was the one that came up with this idea. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God told him, "Do what your wife said." Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael away. Here we see that there is certainly plenty enough blame to go around. If you have the tendency to root for the underdog, who in this case are Hagar and Ishmael, it'll make your heart go out for them. You see, Abraham had every right to be upset with his wife Sarah, who her obvious harshness and indifference towards Hagar, and she called her the slave woman. She was making it known she's a slave, I'm free. As Hagar, you know, called her. And her son Ishmael, whom Sarah had caught either mocking her son Isaac or playing with him as if he was equal footing, which really he was not. See, she didn't want him to act like they was brothers. You know, sometimes in some of the relationships and some of our family circle, plenty times parents don't promote love between siblings. And they get old and they still bickering with one another. You know, Sarah didn't even want Isaac to even act like he had anything to do with Ishmael. And that's what happens a lot of times. But you see, like I said, there was a lot of blame going on here, and it was enough blame to go around. You see, Sarah was the one that started this ball rolling. She was bitter. She felt guilt and shame because of her barrenness. She was barren. She couldn't have children. And in that culture, that was a disgrace. But you see, she owned Hagar, her slave, an Egyptian. And any child born to her would also belong to Sarah. You see, by letting Abraham become the father, this was the best she could hope for. So the child would be from her husband, so that would be her child. And then the maid child would be hers because she would own it. So this was the best she could hope for. She was seen and looking at the situation in the natural. But the promise had to be achieved in the spiritual by faith. You see, Abraham was lacking in his faith, only believing what he could see. And besides that, y'all, come on now, Hagar was young, and maybe lust was playing a part in it also. But if he had a son, he wouldn't have to leave his inheritance to his cheap servant, because that's what would happen. You see, God is faithful and loves his children, even though Abraham and Sarah took things in their own hand. Ishmael was Abraham's son who he loved. God promised to make him a great nation. He would also be a ruler of 12 tribes. You see, this is what y'all got to realize. This is what we have to realize in our life. Nothing that Abraham and Sarah did or did not do, if God said it, it will be fulfilled. And that's the sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. Look at the children of Israel, how they turn their back on God all the time. But there's a scripture I read some years ago that said God went to them and said, okay, I'm fixing to straighten some of this out. He said, but I don't want you to think that I'm doing it because you done got it right. He said, you really haven't got it right. But since I said it, it's now time for me to do it. Come on, y'all. So nothing you could do could trump the will of God. And if we look at verse 15 to the rest of the scripture, to 21, and it said, remember that he had them put a sack on Hagar's back and took Hagar and the boy and put them out. And this is where they're at right now in 15. The water was spent, meaning the water was empty in the bottle, and she cast her son under a straw. 16. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. What he's saying is, she just didn't want to see her son die and all of this. So she put him under a bush. Come on, y'all. And she went straight on the other side where she could see him. They were saying as a bow, talking about like a bow and arrow shoot straight. She said she sat down over against him a good way. She left as if it was a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice, and she began to weep. 17. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Then the angel told him in 18, arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And 19 said, and God opened her eyes, hallelujah, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave drink to the lad. And verse 20 said, and the Lord was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and he became an archer. That's the one who do bow and arrows and stuff like that. 21. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. You see, after the provisions had been exhausted, Hagar and Ishmael was overcome with grief. And y'all got to remember, Ishmael was born, you know, out of this situation. He didn't ask to come here. He didn't decide to do anything, but he was born in this situation. But they was overcome by grief. Could you imagine how Ishmael was feeling that his dad put him out? And he loved his mama, I'm sure. So there's a lot of blame going around, enough blame to go around. This lets us know, wherever God guides, he also provides. He also provides. God knew that Hagar didn't have complete control in this matter. Come on now, she was a slave. That was her, the one that was over her, Sarah. She had to be obedient to her master. But just think a little bit. And I'm saying maybe, just maybe, she may have felt privileged to have a child from the man in charge. And she would also gain some type of prestige. Could have been running through her mind. But now she's dying with Ishmael, her only child. God hears the cries. Had an angel call Hagar out of heaven. What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God's got this. God is working all things out together for your good, Hagar. You got to trust him. God told her, open her eyes. She saw the water. She filled the skin. She filled it up and gave her boy a drink. just remind me of many stories in the Bible, how God always sends for visions at the proper time. That's why he's calling on time God. And see, God always have a ram in a bush. Here God provided water from nowhere for Abraham's son, Ishmael. And later on, he would provide a ram in the thickens. He provided water from nowhere to save Ishmael. He provided a ram in the thickens to save Isaac. You see, once again, God appeared to Hagar and promised that Ishmael would be a great nation. He was letting her know, don't worry about this, I got you. Finally, we are told that God was with the boy as he grew up. You know, people thought that, you know, God had turned his back on Hagar and the child, but you got to read it in the scripture. But this all letting us know what happens when you take things in your own hand. Even when it seemed that God promised would not come to pass, we have to be strong to hold on to the confession of our faith. And if we do, we will see the salvation of the Lord. We have to trust the Lord at all times with all our heart and stop leaning to our own understanding. You can trust God because nothing can take him by surprise. Nothing you could do could take him by surprise. And you see how they messed up, and yet God was still their present help. And that's what God is doing for us. You got to trust him. And as I close tonight, I just want you to know, remember, God is our refuge. He's also our strength. He extends his righteousness towards us. He's faithful. He has your best interests at heart. And he loves you more than you could possibly understand. God is truly in a blessing business. And we have to hold on till a change comes. There's so much going on in this world today. Everywhere we turn, everywhere we look, there's tragedies, you know. They still waiting to see what the storm gonna do to the Carolinas. Thank God it looked like Florida was escaped the bullet. But we could have sympathy and empathy for the people in Bahamas tonight because we had our Hurricane Katrina. And there are going to be a lot of ways in which you could extend your help. But if you don't have anything like that to give, lift those people up in prayer. Don't be so, you know, look at the news and don't care anything about it. And the Beatitudes, God say, blessed are they that moan for others as well as for the evil in the world. And we have to pay attention to needs and things of other people. And don't just be so selfish. So pray for the people in Bahamas. Pray that God's will, if it's God's will, that he allowed the Carolinas to escape. Pray for those families. You done been in their shoes. because God does answer prayer. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to say anything, ask for prayer, sing a song, do whatever you would like to do, you can press the one button on your phone and I'll open a mic. We really have to be about our Father's business. And, you know, I hate to say this because it sounds like a cliche, but none of us could be perfect. But we have to do the best that we can do. Some things in life, God don't even expect you to do it because he know you can't accomplish it. But what he expects from you is what he has already given you as a member of the household of faith, in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God here on earth, so that the kingdom of God can operate. And there will be less needs, and everybody begin to do their part. So that's it for tonight. And I'm going to ask Sister Elyria Mackey. I know you're on the phone. Well, if you're on the phone, to press the one button. And you can lead us out tonight. If anyone have anything to say, you could press the one button at this time. And I'll open the mic for you. Remember tonight, if you don't remember anything else, God is in the blessing business. Even when we mess up, God is working it out for our good. We see this in the lesson tonight. Abraham and Sarah did just what they wanted to do against what God had instructed them to do. But God was still faithful. And that's how he's operating in our lives. But you got to know it. And the only way to know it is through the word of God. You know, I could give you 66 reasons tonight why you should trust God. And it's found in the 66 books in the Bible. You got to check it out for yourself. So the only button is press is this button. And Sister Larry, I have opened your mic. Elyria?
Okay. I'm here. Yes. God is a sovereign God. And the songwriters say he can do whatever he wants to do, when he wants to, how he wants to, because he's sovereign. God, we just thank you, Lord God, for this day. God, we thank you for another Wednesday that we can come together and just bless your name, oh God, because your name is worthy to be praised. And we just come to tell you that we do love you, Lord. We thank you for making us free, because your word declares who the Son makes free is free indeed. And God, we thank you because you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we are at liberty to learn of you, and to grow in your grace, oh God, because you said if we abide in you and your word abide in us, we could ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us. So we just thank you, Lord God, for Minister Diane, oh God, for just being able to rightly divide the word of truth, and that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because you say, with all thy getting, get understanding. So we thank you for opening up the eyes of our understanding, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for increase, because we recognize this outer man do perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And every morning you give us new mercies, and we just bless the name of Jesus. God, we pray for our young people this evening, oh God, that you will cover them with your blood, and that you will guide and direct them and keep them, oh God. God, you said you sent forth your word, and your word healed them. And you said your word will go out, and it will not return back void, but it will accomplish everything that it was set to do. So we thank you, Lord, for your word going out tonight and accomplishing what it was set to do, oh God. We lift up the young children that are in college, those that are in school, oh God, those that are going to and fro looking for jobs, asking that you would open up doors, because you said if we ask, we shall find. If we knock, the doors will be open to us. And if we seek you, oh God, we're seeking you this evening. For those that are standing in need, we pray for the whole household of faith. Oh God, we pray for your apostles and your prophets and your evangelists and your pastors and your teachers, oh God, that they will increase all the more. Oh God, we just thank you for this Wednesday night that we can come together and break bread one with another, Lord God, and get increase, oh God. We thank you for perfecting us until you come back for us, oh God, because you said that you sent them in the church to help perfect the saints till you come back. So we thank you for perfecting us with your word, because it is your word that cleanses. It's your word that purifies us. You said it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to clean out and cut out everything that's not like you and that's not pleasing in your sight. So we just bless your name, and Lord, we just want our speech to be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we have an answer for every man that come looking for the hope, and we call it all done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We reverence you, O God. We praise you, Lord. We can bless you. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Yes, I love you.
Thank you, Sister Mag.
How I love you, Lord. I really love you just for who you are and all of your glory. My heart sings, holy, holy, oh God, you are everything we need you to be. You are the great I am. Just want to say I love you, Lord. Yes, I love you. How I love you, Lord. I really love you. I really love you, Lord. I really love you. Yes, I do, oh God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much, Sister Mackie. And we still have a few minutes, so if anyone else would like to say anything or ask for prayer for anyone or would like to expound on the lesson tonight, you can press the one button and I'll open your mic. You may want to give encouragement. You may want to, you know, pray for the people in that's having trials and storms in their life. You can press the one button. This is not Diane Adams Bible study. This is our Bible study, and God has allowed this opportunity to go forth. And if anyone would like to say anything, you can at this time press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. Well, that seemed like it's it for tonight, but I'm going to leave out with a benediction. And it is always my prayer that each and every one of us will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is our reasonable service. I thank each and every one of you, and I pray that God bless each and every one of you in the blessings that you're in need of. And if it's God's will, we'll be back on next week. Same time. Because if the Lord says so. So That's it for tonight. And each one of you be blessed. Pray for each other. And pray for our Bible study. And pray for our prayer list. In Jesus' name, amen and good night.